Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
All right, golf in the house today. Boise State golf head coach Dan Potter joins us, along with senior golfer from Alea, Hawaii, Donnie Hopoi. Welcome, guys.
Good morning. Thanks. Thank you.
And you guys are about ready to head on down to Palm Desert, California for a University of Wyoming tournament, huh?
Yeah, University of Wyoming is the host institution, but they're going to, rather than send us to Laramie this time of year,
Laramie we're gonna be in February.
In Palm Desert. So we're looking forward to that. We leave tomorrow. We'll play a practice round Thursday, tournaments Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And there's sunshine in the forecast, so.
Nice.
We're smiling, yeah.
Now, Dan, this year the winter has been very mild here in Boise. Last year it was awful. So how has that changed the development of the team? I would imagine you can get out a lot more in practice and do some things. So are you further ahead this year?
You know, I think so. Our guys did a great job last year kind of battling through, you know, what they had to work with. We spent some time indoors, and but there was more time just probably spent thinking about golf last year than actually playing it. And this year it's, you know, we haven't really missed a beat since our guys have returned from, a lot of them go home for their Christmas break. Donnie went back to Hawaii, got to play a lot of golf, obviously, and several guys go to warmer places. But since they've been back, we've been outside on grass, and it's just felt like golf season, so it's been great.
Donnie, what are your goals for your senior season? You've been here for a while. What do you have in the back of your mind for your senior season?
I definitely want to get into postseason. That's probably one of the main goals, but that's kind of like more of a result than a goal. So I kind of like to try to focus on things that I can control. So probably practicing my weaker areas and then focusing more on what I need to work on instead of just going to the golf course and not having a plan on what to do. So just kind of figuring out what I need to work on and then working on those specific areas of the game that have a purpose every time you practice.
Donnie, what about the team? You've won as an individual up at Washington State. Brian Humphries has won, I think, a couple of times as an individual. So you've got a lot of talent back. So what's the feel amongst the team? You guys were third, very, very close at the Mountain West last year as far as looking to the Mountain West this year.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice having at least two people that have won tournaments on the team, definitely for sure, because I think it kind of puts a fire underneath everybody else to try and win some too. So, like, since we've won – other players have been coming up too, like Mason and like all the other guys that start as well, like Junho and Skyler as well. Everybody wants to win tournaments now. So the goal is not just to be in contention anymore. It's actually to bring home a trophy, which is pretty cool now. So to change kind of the way we're thinking instead of just being in contention to actually trying to win is pretty cool.
What's the strength of your team, Dan?
You know, Bob just alluded to it. Brian Humphries and Donnie Hopoi here have they've played great, and you need guys that have the ability to win week in and week out, and they've done that, and they've kind of consistently had some high finishes. But if you look kind of across the board, I mean, from a physical skill set, we have guys that hit the ball a long ways. We're around the lead in the country in making birdies. So our guys have a lot of firepower. They really hit it far. They have good short games, and that results in birdies on a lot of the par five holes where they can get up around the green in two. And so that's been a strength. And they're not afraid to play aggressive and kind of use their strength. And so it's fun to watch.
You're listening to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI. Golf coach Dan Potter joining us along with senior golfer Donnie Hopoi. Dan, this is your fourth season. It seems like each year things have gotten better and better. Do you feel that you have more talent, you have better players, it seems like everything's kind of going in the right direction for you guys.
Sure, yeah. Good players. I mean, we've been able to bring in guys with a lot of talent and then, you know, hopefully put them in a position to continue to develop. And part of that is, you know, surrounding them with good players to go and practice with day in and day out. And so our guys have that right now. They've got good leadership from the older guys. I feel like everybody's really bought in. And, knock on wood, you know, mm-hmm. things are going in the right direction.
I was looking at Twitter yesterday. How good are you guys at beach volleyball?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
we had a blast. Sean Garris is a good friend of mine. His office is across the hall. We've talked about doing that for a while. And you don't think about playing beach volleyball around here in February, but he said the weather's been so great, we got to get you guys out for some fun. And our guys really embraced it, and the volleyball team was great. They showed us a few skills, and then we just split up and played some games, and we had a blast over there at the beach court.
All right.
So, Donnie, who was the best player in volleyball from the golf team?
There were a lot of good players, but I think definitely Mason was probably one of the more athletic ones, but we had some interesting uniforms and outfits that day. So I think Connor Bell and Jake Byers got the – and Connor Johnstone, too, have the – get the real award for that one.
Now, how about that? You can invite them out to play golf sometime?
That'd be fun.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Really know.
Yeah, we'll reciprocate and think of something fun to get them involved with golf for sure.
BSU Golf is our guest this morning. Danny Hopoi, senior golfer from Hawaii. Coach Dan Potter, it's 8:45.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, talking with Boise State golf coach Dan Potter, Donnie Hopoi are here with us. Coach, you guys never play at home. How tough is that?
You know, it's tough, but at the same time, we're trying to schedule against the best competition that we can. So our golf is unique in that we don't have a set conference season that we play like other sports. But we're always trying to play against the kind of the best ranked teams that we can to help our guys be more competitive and try to play against the best competition. So we're going to go and kind of seek that out, typically on the road. And we've got a great schedule.
I was going to say, in golf, when you have other teams come in, you talk about what you're going to do against the opposition. There's probably going to be, anywhere from 10 to maybe even 20 teams that might be in a tournament. But there's nothing you can do to scout or anything. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter at all. So we're most of the scouting all has to do with the golf course that we're playing. And so our guys take a pretty deep dive into the course and getting a look at things and getting a feel for things. And then you've got, weather conditions that can change, from day to day. And so, yeah, all of our scouting has to do with looking at the course.
Now, Donnie, have you played this course coming up down in the Palm Springs area or not?
No, never played it before.
So what do you want to know? You've never played a course. You're getting ready for this. Give us an idea of what you do to prepare for the course.
Most of the time, you want to just figure out what kind of weather you're going to encounter there. So typically, we've heard that Palm Springs can be pretty windy, so we all practice, lower shots instead. And then just speed of the greens, probably how wide the fairways are. But other than that, you kind of just prepare for everything. Kind of just, it's pretty cliche, but prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
And then you obviously get a practice round, so you get a chance to at least kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah, we have one practice round, so we only get to play the holes once in order to figure out what we're going to do for the next 3 days. So,
what strength of your game?
My strength is probably ball striking and probably driving distance and accuracy. That's definitely my strength for sure.
Dan, this weekend, I'm watching the golf tournament. My favorite one to watch is the Pebble Beach tournament. I love the view and the just watching it, and sometimes the celebrities that aren't as good add some fun, because then I could think maybe I could be one of those celebrities out there. What would it mean all weekend? One of the leaderboards they had, they put the college logos up there. And Boise State's logo with Troy Merritt was up there all weekend, where you saw the Bronco head. What does that mean to the program?
That's huge for us. Anytime that that Troy's up there, and Graham spent a lot of time on leaderboards over the last few years, and so that's I get a lot of text messages from guys. They'll take a screenshot of the television and send me a text, and that's awesome. I think it's big for our program and just kind of the visibility and Boise State's become a big brand and across all sports that are that are televised, with what our basketball team is doing this year, obviously football. But to see that in golf is that's a big deal for us.
We were talking about the final hole, and you said golf can be a cruel game sometime, where Troy hits a shot up into a tree and it doesn't come down.
Yeah, you can watch a lot of golf.
Three places.
Yeah, TV, in person, whatever, and that's one that you're not going to see very often. But
you could hit balls into that tree all day in 1 minute.
Exactly. But the good thing is Troy's playing great, obviously. He looked awesome all day long.
He did.
And it sounds like he's got a new putter. He was making a whole bunch of putts, and he's in this week at the Genesis Open at Riviera. And hopefully he can keep it going. A lot of times those guys get on streaks. And
put $185,000 in.
Yeah, that helps, sure. Yeah.
Donnie, when you won the tournament up at Washington State, was there one shot that if you were going to have like a highlight at the end, was there one shot that you thought was the big shot for you to win?
Probably arguably the hardest hole on the golf course that day was number 17, which was a par 5 converted into a par 4. So my approach shot going into that hole on the last day, which was my second to the last hole, was probably more of the ceiling moment for me to kind of realize that I actually had not had a chance to win, but had a pretty good chance to win instead. So that was kind of the time that it kind of cemented that I have a good chance to win a college tournament.
That has to be a great feeling.
Yeah,
I'm there. I'm
great.
There. All I got to do is get a par.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Well, good luck this weekend, you're getting it rolling for the spring.
Yeah, we got a busy spring coming up. This is a good one to start. A lot of good teams that we'll face down here in Palm Desert. But our guys are playing good, and it's going to be fun.
All right. BSU Golf. It's 8:52.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Yes, that's the play-by-play we need to do.
Yeah, well, how do we get to these tournaments?
I don't
know. Yeah.
You know, you could. I don't care, men's, women's, just golf. Give me golf.
Yeah, I love that. We're going to play in Scottsdale, and then we're going to play in Palm Desert, and then Riviera, yeah. And then Hawaii.
Southern California.
It's a grueling schedule.
Yeah.
But you know what? For the student athlete, golf, you're gone every week.
Yeah.
Or every other week. Sometimes they don't have
no
a tournament
games.
Every week. There's no home games to travel. And I'm amazed when you look at the GPAs that the men's and women's golf teams turn in every year.
We do have internet now.
Yeah. So it does make it easier, seriously.
But, internet and free time.
But still, it's difficult to travel, and you're there for, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Basketball tomorrow night.
9:00, Nevada. And this game, I think, is for the championship as far as Boise State's concerned.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose, you're two games in the loss column behind Nevada. And, with just 4 to play for you, 5 to play for them, they're not going to lose enough games that you can get back into it. But if you win this game, you're now tied for first place in the loss column. Mm-hmm. You move ahead in the win column by a half game. And I think that then the ball's back in your court to win the regular season championship.
Put some pressure on them.
Yeah, and stopping the Martin twins is going to be key.
Yeah, it is indeed. And the coach's show will be on Thursday after the
6:00.
First game.
Hopefully talking about a big Nevada win.
Yeah, right.
And then a noon
big
game
win over
on
Nevada.
Saturday.
Yep.
All righty. 8:56, news break coming up, then Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time 9:06. White House wants to deliver food to the poor Blue Apron style to replace food stamps for a lot of people.
I know what you're talking about then. Food ingredients.
I had not heard the term Blue Apron before. They say think of it as Blue Apron for food stamp recipients. Yeah. That's how Budget Director Mark Mulvaney described the Trump administration's proposal to replace nearly half of poor Americans' monthly cash benefits with a box of food, Todd?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Blue Apron is a box. They ship it to you. They give you instructions on how to create the meal, and you cook it, and away you go.
Mm-hmm.
It would affect households that receive at least $90 a month in food stamps or roughly 38 million people.
Well, and of course, a lot of the rules they're talking about with these are the rules that are already in place in a lot of states when it comes to food stamps about what you can and cannot buy.
Right.
For instance, it's kind of strange, but like, for instance, they were talking about a pizza.
Yeah, we just had you that
can,
story.
Yeah, exactly. You can buy a pizza that hasn't been cooked, but you just have to take it home and cook it. But you can't buy one that has already been cooked, like, say, if you were at Costco.
Papa Murphy's?
Get
yes.
Get one from the back, not one from the front.
Well, yeah, and actually, Costco, you can get it both ways.
Right.
Cooked or uncooked. USDA America's Harvest Box is a bold, innovative approach to providing nutritious food to people who need assistance feeding themselves and their families. And all of it is homegrown by American farmers and producers, said Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue in a statement. It maintains the same level of food value as SNAP, which you heard on the news, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. SNAP participants currently receive provide states flexibility in administrating the program and is responsible to taxpayers. Will this work?
It'll be... I'm thinking there will be more administration required than simply food stamps. Although I don't know that that's absolutely for sure, but it kind of puts, like with food stamps, you know, the government says, here's this, go spend it. As opposed to here, we've put together something from our warehouse for you. I feel like fewer employees. The government currently is less involved.
Yes.
Although, I don't know. It may cut out any abuses of the system that are currently happening, but I wonder how many there are. I mean, I wonder how abused this system is. And not that I don't believe it's not. I just don't know how badly it's being abused.
See, and I don't want to hang lazy tags on people and this or that, but are people going to go to all that work? I mean, I don't know how much work. Are they going to prepare these meals? Now all they have to do is go buy a bag of chips. That's harsh.
Good question. I mean, and I don't think it's going to be. I don't think one answer is going to be true of everyone. There are probably people right now who are on assistance that are pushing it as far as they possibly can, and there are probably other people who aren't.
Mm-hmm. A lot of questions pop up on this. Concerns and questions among consumer advocates and food retailers. They feared it would upend a much-needed benefit for more than 80%. 80% of those in the program. Instead of receiving all their food stamp funds, households would get a box of food the government describes as nutritious and 100% grown and produced in the U.S.,
and
the so-called USDA America's Harvest Box. Now, listen to this.
One would hope nobody in your household is allergic to any of it, of course.
True. Would contain items such as shelf-stable milk, like almond milk, whatever.
Yeah.
Juice, grains, cereals, pasta, peanut butter, beans, canned meat, poultry or fish, and canned fruits and vegetables. The box would be valued at about half the SNAP's recipient's monthly benefit. The remainder of their benefits would be given to them on electronic benefit cards like it is now. The administration didn't detail exactly how families would receive their food boxes. Wouldn't that be expensive to deliver those?
See, that's kind of what I feel like. To me, it feels like it's adding extra expense for the government, a.k.a. taxpayers, a.k.a. me.
Well, the federal government says states could distribute them.
Well,
through existing infrastructure.
Possibly. Although that would probably add some expense to the states then.
Bingo.
I mean, granted, it would take one more thing away from the Fed and give it to the states, which is not always a bad idea. However, somebody still has to pay.
Okay, now listen to this.
All right.
The proposal would save nearly $130 billion over 10 years.
For the Fed.
As well as... you sly dog.
Sorry.
As well as improve the nutritional value of the program, and reduce the potential for fraud, according to the administration. Consumer advocates, however,
if you reduce the amount of money that we have to pay to the Fed based on that, and then, of course, we'll have to pay probably extra for it to the state, then, transfer it around or keep it the way it is. You know, one of those will be good, I'm sure.
Consumer advocates questioned whether the federal government could save that much money by purchasing and distributing food on its own. Here comes the state again.
Yeah, it's not like they've ever screwed up anything before.
Yeah, also they were concerned that families would not know what food they'd get in advance, nor have any choice regarding what they receive. Plus, it could be difficult for families to pick up the box, especially if they don't have transportation.
Well, and this is on the philosophy that beggars can't be choosers. You know, in other words, if we're providing you with something, you don't need to have a lot of choices of what to do with it. This is what you get because you can't get it yourself.
Stacy Dean, Vice President for Food Assistance Policy at the left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, says, and this is a quote, "It's a risky scheme that threatens families' abilities to put food on the table."
Well, if it doesn't work, yeah.
And this is one of those things where you won't know if it works until you do it, right?
I suppose so, yeah. The government doesn't just, provide people like here's some money for groceries, because, of course, money could be used for anything.
Right.
They provide, the food stamps or the card or whatever, because it can only be used for certain things. And in this case, it would simply be the government delivering those things and eliminating, anybody having to, decide what to buy for themselves.
Well, and they don't seem to have much of a plan on whether to deliver it to the houses, deliver it to
a central place,
a central warehouse place where you go get it, which could be problematic if you don't have transportation.
Well, which you might not have if you're needy. That is a good point.
Interesting. Blue Apron. Basketball tickets. A pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game, Boise State, against the University of Nevada for first place in the Mountain West Conference. A pair of tickets can be yours if you are caller number 6 at 208-336-3711. 208-336-3711. Call now.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Blue Apron to replace food stamps. Will it work? I'm not sure anybody knows at this point in time. Let's go to the phones and Rick in Garden City. Rick.
Rick is here. Did you remember commodities back in the 50s and 60s?
Sure.
That's what this is, if you think about it. Unlike there, where they took farmer's surplus or manufacturer's surplus of cheese and dried milk and navy beans, and I hate navy beans to this day because we had navy bean after navy bean after navy bean. I mean, I love grits, and we had grits white and yellow, but they would. My dad had access to the church bus, and he would go to the distribution center with the person's information. He was authorized to do the distribution, and the church would go down and pick up the people's stuff and then take it to their homes, because most of them, like you say, did not have transportation. And that would have to, I would think, would have to be something that would happen again. Charities would be doing distribution if we go back to this.
Yeah, I didn't put that together, but it's actually very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's like the old government cheese days.
Yeah.
But there was more than cheese. They say the government cheese days, but there was cheese and dried beans and rice down where I'm from. They have a big rice production, so you got rice all the time. And I grew up eating beans and rice and right. that kind of stuff. And
I just remember the people who made fun of it always said government cheese.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing to make fun of because lots of people, like myself,
kept you alive.
Yeah.
Yep, it did.
All right, good stuff.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. That is
like on Laugh-In and stuff like that. You know, if they'd make a punchline about it, hey, you could make that recipe with government cheese.
Yeah. Let's go to Tony of Boise. Tony.
Yeah, as I was telling the guy that answered my call. My wife has been in the grocery business for about 16 years, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, according to her. These energy drinks, you're supposed to use your food stamps to feed your family, buy nutritionist stuff and everything. What's so nutritious about these energy drinks? People are buying that by the case with food stamps. What's up with that?
Yes, I'm not real familiar with what you can and what you can't buy with food stamps. What can't you buy with food stamps? Do you know?
I guess prepared food, right?
A quick search on Google. For an energy drink, it's considered to have some nutritional value, so therefore you can buy it with SNAP.
Is that something you want to feed to your kids every day at the breakfast table?
Get them all jacked up for school? I don't know.
Come on.
Well, I mean, they're generally fairly expensive, so I wouldn't think that's too economically sound.
That's true.
Well, I for one, it's taxpayers' money that's going out and everything, and I think that's a ridiculous thing to be able to buy with food stamps that are supposed to be given to people that are in need.
Yeah. What about stuff like potato chips? Can you buy that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but... Yeah. You know, that potato chips isn't that healthy for your children either.
No.
No, true. I mean, nobody wants to be a fascist, but, you know, there is kind of a point where you go, you're living better than I am now.
Yeah. Well, and plus the fact you're eating Hershey bars.
Well, that's something like that.
You know. That's, I don't know. Okay, good stuff, Tony. Thank you. That energy drinks, I had no idea, but Todd looked it up. They have nutritional value, so you can buy them with SNAP.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And
I'm sure that if you're on SNAP, you know what you can buy and what you can't.
Yeah,
right
and you said they would send basic food items. So essentially, these are staples, you know, and or commodities, like he was talking about earlier, to households receiving more than $90 a month in SNAP assistance in boxes. And I think a part of the idea of this is to ensure that. Especially like people with children are getting things that they're supposed to be getting, you know, with the funds, I think.
Yeah.
As long as it works, you know what I mean?
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:26. We'll be back with more on Idaho Talks Live.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, talking this morning about the White House's Blue Apron proposal to replace
SNAP.
Partially replace SNAP and food stamps. And Todd has looked up what you can and can't buy with food stamps.
So what you can buy is food for the household to eat, such as bread and cereal, fruit and vegetables, meat, fish and poultry, dairy products. Things you cannot buy: beer, wine, liquor, cigarettes or tobacco, pet food, soap, paper products, household supplies, vitamins and medicines, and hot foods in the store.
And it's interesting, the difference between the hot and not hot foods, because Mark wrote and said... I work at Albertsons, and the food stampers can also buy cold coffee drinks from the in-store Starbucks. So that's not a hot food. That's, you know, for sure.
And then you asked about junk food.
Is that nutrition, though?
I don't know. Is coffee nutrition?
I don't know.
To me, it's just coffee. So.
And you asked about junk food, and it says soft drinks, candy, cookies, snack crackers, and ice cream are food items and are therefore eligible. Such items such as seafood, steak, bakery cakes are also eligible.
Yeah. Now, a lot of these things probably wouldn't be stretching your dollar as far as it could go, which would probably be the best idea. But like I said, I mean, you know, we're not necessarily a fascist here, so I suppose giving people choice over what they do is...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You can't really tell people what
but
they
like, but I mean, there is certainly an attitude that a lot of people have that, well, beggars can't be choosers, so if you're going to get something provided for you, you'll take what you get.
Well, you can't tell people what they can eat, but you can tell people what you'll pay for.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what is already happening.
Yeah. Let's go to Pro Life. Pro, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Hey, my phone.
You're good.
You all right?
Yep.
Oh, my phone was messed up there for a minute. My cord is not good. But anyway, food should be our medicine. People don't realize that. And good nutrition, really, that's if we have good health, that's our best asset in life. And so, you know, lots of times poor people eat poorly, and so then they stay poor because their best asset, their health, they can't think right, get their work done right, and just live right. But it's really a big problem because I don't think that the SNAP cards, I don't think they check IDs on those, and I think people are selling them. I think they trade them around, and I think they trade food for alcohol and addictive kind of products, you know. But if people could just realize that they really need to eat healthy things, and of course, if you could get organic stuff right out of your garden, you can't in the winter. And if poor people were really smart, they would, the best thing they could do would be to eat as healthy as they could.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, the government could have education programs regarding that. But then if the government was going to do that, then they'd get a bunch of that stuff that you just mentioned out of the food program.
Well, and there was a time, a long period of time, that if you didn't have a great deal of money, you grew a garden, and you also...
Victory gardens.
Everybody, and also everyone learned how to cook.
Right.
And cook from scratch.
And can the stuff out of the garden.
Yeah, you eat what you can and what you can't.
Jelly and...
What you can't, you can.
Now that's all gone. Yeah. When I was a kid, my mom had this big stove down in the basement, man, and she was always canning stuff and making jelly and putting up preserves.
My parents and grandparents canned lots of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the government could give gardening land and irrigation equipment and tools, you know, and people could grow their own.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, and you hate to jump in and play the card about they really don't want to work that hard and... but I don't know if that's true. I really don't know. Seems like it would work. Don't know if it would or not.
Well, there's, you know, people that are poor, there's smart ones and there's dumb ones, and I don't know what you can do about that. Maybe nothing.
Yeah.
That's the same as rich people, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and
right, everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
And these days... A lot of poor people are in that situation, and homeless people, because of drug abuse.
Yeah.
And they're not going to want to put up preserves.
Well, I better get out of here.
All right. Thanks.
Well, you know, and I don't ever want people to think that I think that there's only one reason that you could be poor. There aren't. There are like a million different reasons.
Luck is.
Yeah, luck or, I mean...
Start right there.
Because there are people who have worked very hard and have succeeded, and there are people who have worked very hard and haven't succeeded.
Yeah, somebody in the family gets sick.
And by the same token, there are people that haven't worked very hard at all and have succeeded.
Succeeded,
while
yeah.
others haven't worked very hard at all and didn't succeed because that's really harder to do.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And there's a large group in the middle.
Overall, do you think this will work? The Blue Apron thing.
I
see so many problems.
Well, yeah, so do I. I mean, it just anything that the government takes over and changes, right away you've got to expect a lot of it not to go correctly. And I don't mean that to sound cynical. That's just...
Well, it does sound cynical, and then...
But on the other hand, does it sound wrong?
No, because okay. The track record is there.
Yeah. This is true.
We haven't had the greatest track record when it comes to new programs working like clockwork.
Yes, we have had a...
Doesn't happen.
A considerable amount of consistency, however.
Mm-hmm. Our consistency is in our inconsistency.
There we go.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:44.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul, Jay, and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
All right, talking about the Blue Apron program this mm-hmm. morning. And let's go to Charlie of Nampa. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
You betcha. What's on your mind?
I'd like to respond to pro-life.
Okay.
This guy wants the government to send items for people to grow food.
Well, he suggested
it. Huh?
He suggested it.
That's the silliest thing I ever heard him say.
How's that?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
What about all the people that are homebound?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not everybody can get out and grow
homeless.
A garden.
They're going to jump out there. And
yeah, that's true.
And hoe and
right.
Water. And
it would probably be limited to those people who physically can do it.
Yeah, so pro-life, think about what you say.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Bill of Boise says all you can really do for the poor and homeless is give them an opportunity to help themselves. The ones that want help will accept it, and the ones that don't want help will never ask for it and really don't want it. If you try to push it on them, they will just take advantage of it. It is as simple as that.
Well yeah, it
except
is.
That there aren't just there aren't just two kinds of people who are needy. There are, you know, there are
shades of gray.
Yeah, exactly. Many, many different kinds. Mike R. of Boise says it's quite a stretch, even for the illusionists in the White House, considering the comparisons between the food stamp program, which delivers an average of $1.37 per meal, and the high-end Blue Kitchen meal kit, which runs $10 per serving.
Yeah, and that was not mentioned anywhere in the story, Chris, although they did say over, what was it, 3 years, it would save $150 million?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think the only similarity it has to the Blue Apron is that it's delivered in a box. You know, apart from that, I mean, you're not getting the same thing.
True.
He went on to say, who pays for the delivery then? The people on food stamps, really? You know, and again, the delivery would cost something, whereas the...
Yeah. Simply, is it delivery or distribution? Is it, you know?
Yeah, and we don't know.
No.
To be fair.
And the government doesn't know. And like you say, the government could say we save all this money and then push the expense down onto the states, and, you know, you're really not saving anything.
Yeah.
Let's go to John of Garden City. John.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we got commodities for a while. We lived in a very poor part of the state of Michigan.
Sure.
And it was a once-a-month thing, and there were no food stamps, so you had to make your way to the county seat distribution center, and you got X based on your household. And it was, it varied from month to month, but there were staples in there. There was always flour, milk, baking powder or soda, egg, powdered egg, powdered eggs, peanut butter, cocoa, that kind of stuff. And then there would be, of course, the government cheese, bags of prunes or apricots or, you know, dried fruit.
Sure.
Believe it or not, whole canned chickens.
I remember canned chickens.
Yeah. And you can still get them, and I have a buddy who gives them every summer so that when they go up on their summer man camp, they can make chicken and dumplings without having to go through all the rigmarole.
So,
yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
And it wasn't terrible. It wasn't, you know, the thing was lacking was fresh, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I can remember, they talk about abuses, and I can remember the first, within the first year after after food stamps became available, there were people getting busted because they'd trade their food stamps for cash. There was a guy who bought a Lincoln Continental with food stamp money.
Really?
and this was the old, you know, printed money type of food stamps.
Right.
So, yeah, but, you know, the risk you run with charities is, you know, a discrimination. If it's a religious charity or something else, that's the nature of human beings. The problem with the Treasure Valley is there's really not adequate public transportation. If you say, well, you have to go to the county seat to pick it up, well, how do you get from CUNA to wherever?
That's a big problem with this Blue Apron thing.
Yeah, that is the big, you know, delivery of somehow. So it's either got to go through charities, which is, you know, anti-government or anti-separation of state and government or church or whatever, however you want to look at it, or you have to have it under government control, which is all well and good. You could have it at one warehouse, and you can walk in and say, well, this is, and they say, all right, you get X thing, X number from this category and X number from this category. And so you could have it as diversified as possible.
Sure.
You know, if you don't want beans, and well, what else do you have for protein? Because the beans and your rice together supply a complete protein.
Yeah, we are out of time. John, sorry about that. Call earlier next time.
But I don't like legumes.
Legumes. 9:55, we will see you tomorrow right here on Idaho Talks Live.